What's up, folks? Welcome back to our regularly scheduled programs. It is Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk, and it is I, Hootran. You can find me at GoTheDistance69. Nice. No. At Hootran Superman on the Twitterverse. I'm back. I'm in front of a microphone. I feel better than being on the AirPod. So it feels right, Brian. It feels right. And we're going to be talking, we actually have some jazz news that came down today we're going to talk about. I do want to bring on the original Go the Distance, 69. Mr. Jared Barker, what's up, man?
Wait, is this thing on? Were we recording?
ABR, man, always be recording.
not much. You know, just chilling like a villain.
Not much. You texted me that you are guarding a Brazilian princess.
I wouldn't have phrased it that way, but you said
that if this all goes well, she can fall in love with you and she's back as her American boyfriend.
That doesn't sound like something I say. That sounded like you're eating Funyuns or something into the mic.
That sounds exactly like how I'm going to tweet it out. So, we're going to bring on the guy that, you know, he's going to make sure that we stay jazz relevant, and ever since he's come on,
invested in the pouch.
Yeah, ever since he's come on, our numbers are getting close to getting that Manscaped sponsorship that we desperately want. So, absolutely. The Dragon Swatch himself, Logan Cox, what's up, Dragon Swatch?
That was a hell of an intro you gave to Jared there, Brazilian princess and all. I do appreciate the if anyone's gonna get manscaping, it's gonna be that's probably my area of expertise. Not just because of the content that we provide, but also if you've seen me, my body physically, yeah. It's a
you it and me be, both, brother. We're
yeah,
hairy.
Yeah, we should actually have a yeah.
We should rename a segment on the podcast like the hairy, yeah. Where it gets hairy or something. No, that's more Sasquatch. Never mind.
Well, Logan, I'm in high school. He would always berate us because none of us had body hair, and he's like, "This is what a real man looks like." And when he hit, so
there's normally who is lying when he's saying those things. That's like an exact quote used on a regular basis.
So you're saying who looks like when he's shirtless? He looks like Alex Caruso or what's the other guy's name?
It's
the guy that was a Ute. I keep wanting to block out Kyle Kuzma from my memory, man. Because he is just so annoying. Kyle Kuzma. yo, hot shower.
Yes. So who looks more like if you took Andre Miller's head and put it on Alex Caruso's body? That's pretty much.
Yep, that's app description, folks. So, any girl who dates me, that's what you're in for. So, no Brazilian princesses over here.
Unless they got two kids.
All the single moms are. They need to rewrite that song for Yoohoo and just call all the single moms.
Yeah. Right. Hey, single moms, hit me up on my Twitter. We're getting into some jazz news. I mean, you know, again, there's some rumors that the NBA season is going to miss, you know, Christmas, but they're really aiming for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so that's another big day for the NBA. So
January 18th, right? Yeah.
So sometime in January, which, you know. Again, it's gonna be, you know, right now. Dennis Lizzy has been working around the clock. Dennis and Justin trying to figure it out, and a lot of the, you know, places they're bored already. ESPN, Sports Illustrated, every Bleacher Report probably. First topic of the day. Oh, actually, no. Let's say that one. I'll say that for a little bit later. I did send a tweet out to Logan and Jared here, talking about cap space, right? So this is cap space is really difficult for people to understand, and not everybody, but some people, maybe a lot of the casual fans, because one of the things I keep seeing in the Twitterverse is that the Jazz need to trade Mike Conley away so the Jazz can have cap space to, you know, sign players. And so I bring this up for a couple reasons, because number one, and I asked the experts, I tweeted at McCade and Riley and
Dan Clayton, probably.
The Claytons, yeah, Dan and Ken.
Yeah, they're definitely our capologist
right.
Friends.
Because from my understanding, the Jazz are over the salary cap. Now, We don't have the real numbers yet. We don't have everything, but the rough estimate. So Mike Conley makes about $35 million. If you just trade Mike Conley away for literally nothing, if you trade Mike Conley away for Logan's favorite assets, second round picks, right?
Which is not possible, though.
It's possible. If you trade to a team that has cap space.
But nobody has that much space. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, this is all theoretical. Anyway,
if you trade
to a team that has that can take cap space without sending you contracts back, all you have to receive is second round draft picks, gold, as Logan calls it.
That's how championships are built.
Yeah, all the second round draft picks in the world, man. All you have to do is make sure you draft them Paul Millsap and Jokic every year.
The reason that things didn't work out for Sam Hinkie was they made him start giving up his second round picks. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. No.
So this is all theoretical. You find the Hawks out there, the Knicks, whoever it is, that has $35 million in cap space, and they're like, yes, we'll take Mike Conley from you, and we'll give you back one second round draft pick. So the Jazz can shed Mike Conley's contract from their cap. However, since the Jazz are over the cap, they don't get all $35 million back. So asking all our cap experts, and from what, rough estimates I did, the Jazz would, in essence, get about $20 million in cap space back. So the bigger point to this is that
that doesn't seem like that much.
Well, exactly. You're not going to get $35 million back. But before we get to that, so Logan, we talked about this, and I said it in a way like, Panthers, they love cap space. They just love effing cap space. They're like, yes, we want
that's
cap space.
The same reason they love picks, right? It's like, it could be anything. It could even be a boat.
It could be a boat. Jared has done enough pause of me that to know that where I go with that. But yes, yeah. Logan's like, oh, you think only fans want it, but like, I focus more on like why fans think this way. Why do you think this cap space theory, this theoretical cap space is so enticing to get rid of a player like Mike Conley, Logan?
Oh, I mean, I don't know that. I was just asking for some clarification on what you meant. Like, I think cap space is valuable because it's been pounded into us from front offices and the news we watch. They tell us that, you dump a player in a contract year and you look for that cap space. I don't think that if folks understood what you just described, I think that's the problem is, getting $20 million for 35 isn't exactly what people envision. So it's probably a lack of understanding by fans. So yes, if they're overvaluing it or not valuing it correctly, then yes, I would say that values they do want to see that. And I think it's just everyone wants the space because they want the freedom to go after whoever it is they want to go after. And it's just, I don't know, it's the excitement of the unknown. I don't know. It is what it is. It's your chances to do what you want with your money. This is a terrible year to do it though. So I don't know why you'd want it this year, but
Favors needs $20 million. That's why.
Yeah. Derek Favors, Serge Ibaka, team him up.
Yeah. I mean, Serge Ibaka would be nice. He'd be a good backup center, but yeah, I don't know that he puts us in the threshold to win a championship. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that could be another topic another time. So, Jared, so this is like this cap space stuff, right? Like, not only would the Jazz not get all in the back, like, I mean, you think Mike Conley's a pretty good player? Like, I mean,
yeah, he's probably not $35 million good, but he's at least worth that $20 million, I think.
Yeah, and so I think that's the other problem I see with this is that I see all people like, oh, we're gonna trade Mike Conley, and again for literally nothing. Like, you can't take anything back if you want the $20 million in cash space back. Because then you have to fill not only, the holes that the Jazz had before, but now you're filling another hole, that Mike Conley leaves that, maybe Jazz fans want to see Point Donovan. And that's, I can see why. But also, you're just getting rid of one of the top five players on the Jazz current roster, So, yeah, it's just one of these things that, like, we see cap space and, the funny thing is that the Jazz, in essence, this year will have about so they won't have cap space, but with the exceptions. And again, this is really confusing for people who don't really follow capology and everything. So, with the mid-level exception, the biannual exception, The Jets is that have about
8.4.
How about that?
Is that like 8.4, right? We have.
We don't know. We don't know. But generally speaking,
generally that's what it would be though, right? Usually.
About 9-ish million.
About 9. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think about 9-ish million is what I've been seeing. About 9 million for the mid-level. And the biannual, I think, it's about $3.5 million or something like that.
Got it.
Okay. So the Jets would have about $12.5 million. So I mean, easily the Jets traded Mike Conley for nothing.
Right.
They would have $20 million to play with, versus if they just use their exceptions, stay over the cap.
And have about $12 million. Wow, you're telling me that. Wow.
I mean, but it's not a full 12. It's a 9 and a 3.
No. But still, I mean, that's like halfway there. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah. So it's a little numerology that you have to like play with to kind of get because the Jets, you know, at 20 million, there's nobody on this free agent market that was going to get 20 million regardless. Maybe Christian Wood. I know people, there's some Jets fans out there who they hear Christian Wood and they get Christian Wood, if you know what I'm saying.
I think Gallinari was a $20 million player, but I don't know if he's going to get 20 million in this market.
What is a Christian Wood? What is that?
Doesn't he play for like Detroit or something at some point?
Yep, he's Detroit's like stretch five that after the All Star break was like averaging like 20 and 10 and
could shoot. He was playing really well this year.
Was playing really well, and so he's like on the top target for a lot of teams. And I saw a tweet today that said, "Oh, because of the market, if Christian Wood only gets $9 million, that'd be super crazy." But
that would be wild.
Yeah, but I mean,
imagine if the Lakers add Christian Wood and they get rid of, you know, somebody else. That's crazy.
I mean, the Lakers wouldn't have to get rid of anybody. The Lakers could just sign them to the
minimum. No, because I don't think they're going to re-sign. I mean, they're not paying $15 million for Danny Green. So, I mean,
because their
situation is complicated.
Did Danny Green
Green is a one-year deal.
He was only 1 year?
Yeah, he was only 1 year deal.
Well, I mean.
Wait. I don't know. I have to double check that now.
I thought he signed a multi-year deal.
He might have been a two-year, $30 million. You're right.
And then with them, Anthony Davis and LeBron, you know, commanding the money.
Anthony Davis extension. Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers are going to be over the cap regardless. I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Doesn't matter. To see what they do this offseason.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't.
The Lakers will use their mid-level, they'll use their biannual, and then they'll go grab whoever, you know, they'll grab Boogie Cousins for the minimum, you know? And
I don't know if anybody's going to want Boogie, because they had Boogie last year. He was hurt, couldn't play. So I don't know.
He's getting a ring.
Yeah.
He is.
And again, Jerry, here's the thing, though. It's a minimum contract. Who cares? It's the minimum you can give to somebody.
They do, because JaVale McGee was on a minimum, and he gave him minutes. They want somebody who can play.
You keep bashing on DeMarcus Cousins, and this guy was a former All-Star just 2 years ago. I mean,
the casual fans will be excited, but I don't think any serious fans would be excited if we had DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, if the Jazz signed DeMarcus Cousins, I'd be thrilled, you know, because that guy has a ceiling, you know. So
he looked pretty bad in gold the last time he saw the floor. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he might have been, but again, I've seen this guy's ceiling. Again, if he can get 80%.
Well, if the Jazz signed him, I would have hope, because I would think that the Jazz are smart enough to not sign somebody who can't play. But, you know, last offseason, I'm going to be bullish on whoever we sign.
I don't know if that was supposed to be a praise for the Jazz front office. Like, oh, if the Jazz front office did it, then of course. But
yes, that is, yeah, because I would expect them to be able to sign somebody who can play.
Yeah, but again, you know, being a GM, being in free agency, sometimes it's just like you take shots in the dark, because
I know.
Oh, you know, and again, DeMarcus Cousins is not going to take the minimum to play for the Jazz, but if he takes the minimum to play for the Lakers, it doesn't cost anything. Taking a minimum contract doesn't really matter. DeMarcus Cousins could, you know, be the third big off the bench for the Lakers, and you know, the one or two games that Anthony Davis gets in foul trouble, all of a sudden you have DeMarcus Cousins that can come in and play too. So
it's still just insane to me how much money he lost due to that injury. It's just wild.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I'm a athletes, when they ask for money, you kind of want them to get paid, you know.
Oh yeah.
You'd rather be on the millionaire player side versus the billionaire owner side. So
That's,
I mean, you would think, but then I see fans turn on players way quicker than they turn on ownership.
you know, that's because we're conditioned that way. What was that, Logan?
No, that's an interesting point that I mean, Jared kind of touched on, was all the money that DeMarcus Cousins lost. So he hurts himself, right? And then he shocks everyone and takes that cheap, low contract to go try to play 1 year with the Warriors, right?
The first hit he took was when the Kings traded him, because they could have paid him so much more money.
No, but I'm talking – well, there's a completely different point I'm trying to circle myself back around to. And that is, he took a lot less money to go to Golden State for that.
That 5.3 million.
We were shocked by that, right? It's like, how they have this guy? Because he came off the injury with New Orleans, but it was still shocking to see that. And then he hurt himself again, and he's never recovered. And I wonder, you know, nothing's ever guaranteed. And especially when you watch the cross sports, you watch Dak Prescott's injury recently, and the thought process has kind of been, I mean, some people have floated it out that because no one really knows what's happening with the cap and there's such little cap space that some of these guys may take some smaller contracts for a year, right, to prove themselves. And that's I think it'd just maybe a cautious tale with, I mean, like I said, there was a lot of, I've seen it quite a few and heard it in quite a few different places that perhaps some people will take 1 year deals at a lower rate to either just, you know, wait for the market to get better or prove themselves. But that can be very dangerous, you know. I mean, those are two examples off the top of my head that didn't turn out too well for those guys long term. And I guess it's, I don't know, just me rethinking my own position on it, because nothing is guaranteed. And you're right, I don't know how many hundreds of millions Cousins has cost himself now. Not to say he wouldn't have still got hurt, but I mean, it would have been a lot better to get hurt with 5 years and $100 million left on a contract than 5 years and nothing, or $5 million and one.
Because Cousins was like in that area of like, all right, because he's a special case, right? Like, in that offseason, there wasn't a lot of teams buying for his services, just because, like, again, it was another dry year, if I remember correctly. So that's why he took one to go back next year, and then obviously got injured again. So he's just trying to, because DeMarcus Cousins is one of those guys that, like, if the Hawks or the Knicks or somebody could still see the talent there, if he goes to work out with them, it's like, all right, they can see that, you know, they can get somewhat of what Boogie Cousins used to be. They can give him a longer term contract, because DeMarcus Cousins is that good. Now, a guy like Jeremy Grant, right? Jeremy Grant doesn't have that built in.
He doesn't have that notoriety, that luxury.
Yeah, he just doesn't have that resume. Like, they saw what he did in the playoffs. Now, Jeremy Grant is might want to take that whatever he can now, because if he gets hurt in his contract year, a lot of people aren't going to remember that one series, you know.
Yeah, he needs to take a Solomon Hill deal, is what I would call it, because he had one great playoff series for Indiana, and it was garbage, or not. I don't know, I can't remember.
Grant's got to cash in this year. I don't know that his value will ever be higher than it currently is, right? So.
And Cousins is one of those guys that, like, he kind of knew that, you know, there's obviously the injury risk, but he also had built up so much stock that,
he was playing with house money, it looked like.
He was chasing max money too, though, right? So it was a different year. Different mindset.
Because I remember the Pelicans, they gave him an offer, but he felt like they lowballed him. So he's like, screw it, I'm going to Golden State for $5.3 million. Yeah, and then he just ended up costing himself a ton of money. Just, wow.
Yeah, so. And, yeah, so, I mean, a lot of guys, so, I mean, we circle around the Favors, right, where Favors could sign a one-year deal with somebody, you know, the Jazz, right? But if in that one-year deal, he gives up bird rights, he gives up everything to play 1 year, and then he has to go back in the market next year.
Right.
And, you know, a team like New Orleans does have the chance to offer Derek more than the mid-level exception, and a chance to retain bird rights, and a chance to retain some control of where he gets traded to if he signs it 1-1. And so, Serge Ibaka. So some of these guys who are at the end of their contracts or end of their careers, really, like Serge Ibaka, I don't know how old he is, but feels like he's been in the NBA for quite
31.
A while. 31. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so.
I know, but it feels like he's been in the league for like 15 years, doesn't it? Like,
it feels like he should be older than 31 for sure.
Yeah. And 31 is like, you know, that's still kind of up there for NBA ages, especially for big men. with his skill set. So if you're a big man in the 30 to 32, 33 range, you kind of want to cash in, you know, on a 4-year deal, cement, you know, it's like, hey, this is my last big contract before I have to start taking, you know, veterans.
Yeah, before I either retire or I do the, yeah. Or I do the journeyman thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause once you start taking those mid levels and veteran mids, veteran midrooms and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You almost never come back. Yeah.
So.
Marcus Morris also 31, which means that Marquif Morris is also 31. So just random.
Marquif, who threw away game 5.
Random pack.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. So this is just a long cap space talk we had, just because I see a lot of fans throwing that out there, and so now you listener are now armed with the information that, hey, just because you can trade, if you could trade Mike Conley away, again, it's a stock market. You never really want to trade away a depreciated asset. You know, you want to trade away someone who's, you know, an appreciated asset, not a depreciated asset. So,
yeah.
You know, if you could trade away Mike Conley and all you're getting back is cap space, again, it's not that helpful for the Jazz. The Jazz have a lot of needs.
You got to sell high like the Grizzlies did with Conley.
Yeah. And even then, like when we think about what they sold high on, they got two role players that they didn't want to match salaries. They got a young draft pick from the Jazz that, you know, might be something, might not be something. It was a risk to take him on. And they got a draft pick who turned out to be really well, but it was a pick in the 20s. So not usually a draft pick that you're like, oh my God, and we need to have that pick, you know? And then you know, the best asset is a draft pick that hasn't even, like, it's not even really close to converting yet. You know, it's another year away or so. So, yeah, I mean, they sold high, but it wasn't even that big of a haul in my mind. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm wrong. If you guys want to talk me into saying that the Jazz gave up a lot for that.
Well, I think it was theoretical at the time, but I think the guy that they got back, I'm trying to remember his name, at like 23.
But to me,
he's what makes it worth it, because he's a player that I feel like the Jazz could really use.
but that's sort of like an ends justify the means type thing. Like at the point where the Jazz made the trade, he wasn't the asset. The asset was.
I know. But that's what I'm saying is that, like, if you're doing that trade in hindsight, and you're projecting, I'm talking about the actual player at the time,
you know, at the time.
I agree. At the time, it still doesn't even look like that much on paper. I mean, if the other pick we convey turns into an all-star, then it'll be like, wow, we got robbed. but no, at the time, I totally agree. It doesn't seem like that much.
I mean, if it turns into all-star, it's not really.
Oh, I know. But what I'm saying is Jazz fans are going to look back at that trade and be like, wow.
I'm not talking about Jazz. I'm talking about you trying to convince me that this is an awful trade for the Jazz, or in order the Jazz gave up a lot.
I don't think it was awful.
No.
I don't know that it was necessarily a lot. It just feels like it was substantial, is what I would say. I wouldn't say a lot, but it was like, it wasn't just like we're sending them one pick and something. No, we sent them a valuable role player in Jay Crowder, who I don't know that Memphis necessarily didn't want to keep him, because I think he's a big reason that they had a fall off at the end of the season, because they didn't have the leadership of a Jay Crowder type. And, we saw what he did for that Heat team. I know.
When I talked to the, like, after that trade happened, and, you know, I talked to my friends at the Grizzlies, you know, the SB Nation, right? A lot of them were basically saying Jay Crowder is, you know, they had already called that they were going to use him as trade bait, you know? So
I guess.
I
think they were really just trying to unload, what's his face?
Iguodala. Yeah. They did also turn that into Justice Winslow, which is intriguing. Is Justice Winslow like
he's hurt again?
I know what I'm saying. It's an intriguing player. It could be just another Michael Kidd Gilchrist, where he's like has all this potential but never turns it into something. But
I kind of feel like that's where the way things are headed with Winslow. He feels like the Heat traded him probably at the right time. He's like their version of Dante Exum, but they traded him soon enough that the value didn't.
Maybe, there's potential there. I mean, if you told me in two years,
if he can stay healthy, yes. But I don't know.
I mean, injuries are such a like. I listen to a lot of like, quote unquote, injury experts, like for like fantasy football and stuff, like, right? And the thing is that like the term injury prone is so weird because, like if the guy like tore his knee up every year, like the same knee, yeah, maybe. But if it's like different injuries every time, it's just like, oh, well, these are grown men playing a physical sport, and sometimes you land wrong or something. Just like you're running so hard and you pull something. It's just they're different injuries, like different soft tissue injuries, and you know, labeling somebody injury prone is,
well, the thing is, Winslow has hurt kind of the same areas a few times now. So
but it also doesn't mean it's like the same injury. It also doesn't mean like one injury doesn't necessarily mean that this is why he's injured again.
Yeah, but I don't think Jazz fans want to hear us argue about what injury prone doesn't mean. So,
well, I mean,
like, let's table
you,
that.
You brought it up. you brought it up. You talked about injury. And so I think it's, you know, one of those things that we're here, we're talking about it. And, but I think, but
you might be right. I mean, you might be right. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Yeah, I think the point is right though that the Grizzlies you know, they traded Iguodala, they traded Crowder, and they went and got younger. And for the Jazz, I know there's a lot of people who like really hate this Mike Conley trade for the Jazz.
And I don't hate it. I still think it was an interesting move. And honestly, I think without Mike, we don't get Bogey. So I still think it was the right move.
Yeah, he's talked about it, but. Yeah, I mean, and obviously, and I feel like I'm off the Bogey train, and I feel like it sucks when I say I'm off the Bogey train. But it would be interesting.
You bought his jersey, and now you're betraying him. Wow.
You know, I'm just thinking about theoretically about how this year went for the Jazz with Mike Conley and Bogdanovich, and this will lead me.
I was just gonna say something like you should have bought it with an American Express card so you could exchange it for a different player, but. But it was just mostly just because I was going to be like, you know, one of those things where we usually are always talking about how we want sponsors. American Express, please sponsor us.
Hitting the High Notes is an Unwrapped sports partner podcast. Check out the new live streaming show, Unwrap This, on Twitter, and follow Unwrap Sports at Unwrap Sports on Twitter and IG. And so, we get into like how this Jazz team performed, and I guess I made it no secret that, you know, now that I'm looking at it and going, wow, I have no idea what this Jazz team is going to do next year. Now, the Jazz, you know, we think we know the core five, maybe the core six if you add Jordan Clarkson into that.
Mm.
We know the Jazz can make a couple moves. And now we're starting to see like ESPN, Bleacher Report, Sports, all these guys put out the way too early power rankings, right? And I sent it to you guys, going, wow, you guys see this, and you see how people are freaking out about it. Logan, so like the first tweet I sent you was like, the Jazz were ranked, I don't know, 15 or something on the ESPN one or something like that. And
which seems fair. That's a team that makes the playoffs.
I mean the Jazz, so I mean that's where we see the Jazz. Like, is that where you see the Jazz, Logan?
Yeah, it was looking at that list. It was hard to see too many holes in that one. I know it's the easy default is to rain on the ESPN parade, but I think that their list was. I mean, not just where the Jazz landed, but pretty much all the teams seemed pretty correct. I mean, when I first saw it, you hear 15, so you think, well, that can't be right, you know. And so then you start to try to work your way through the list, and you're like, oh no, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. So
I'm trying to remember where they had the Warriors. Do you remember, Logan?
Like six or seven.
That seems about right to me. That seems fair.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors seem. We've talked about the Warriors a few times now. What I think is interesting is the way people feel about them is all over the board. Some people think they're going to be back into title contention. Some people think they're going to be terrible. I mean, they.
That's actually. I'm in the first camp, so I'm just going to stake my claim right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things change, and I think that they've got plenty to prove, as everyone wants to talk about what these athletes have to prove. And I think that I'm sure that while they're all older, and Draymond may be falling off more than the others, I think they want to be able to prove they can do it again without Kevin Durant. They're still pretty loaded. I mean, you still got three great players. Who knows what Wiggins is or isn't? I mean, it was something back for D'Angelo Russell. They got something out of Kevin Durant, though, right? It turned into these different pieces, and right. The number two pick may not be what it always is. But then again, last year, a lot of people didn't think Luka was what he was supposed to be, and they dropped. What did he drafted third or fifth? What was it? Was it third and then the, traded?
The smart money Warriors fans that I follow say that they should chum the water and take Lonzo's brother, which LaMelo. I think is LaMelo Ball. That's the name. I couldn't think of it. Which I would think that would be interesting, especially if they could trade him to a team like the Knicks and just move back a few picks. I think that would be very interesting for them.
Yeah, I think they've still got plenty of assets. They got plenty. I don't know, assets. I can't tell you. I'm a expert at that. That was the misuse of the words. But I think that it can't go much better for them as you compete for titles and then just completely let it all fall apart.
I've
been on the Warriors. Like it's hard for me to see them be as dominant as they were a few years ago. Just because
I don't think they're gonna be sitting everybody for fourth quarters. But
because their bench was just so good those championship years. Even with Durant, like even if they were top heavy, their bench was like they were getting.
Durant years, their bench was a little thinner, but yeah, I know what you mean. Before that backup point guard retired, because Livingston was so good. Yeah. Man, he was great for them off the bench. He was one of the best backup point guards in the league.
Yeah, and Iguodala was still really good.
Before Festus Ezeli fell off, he was solid too.
For a couple years, they had a very cheap Andrew Bogut who was very serviceable, 15-minute, backup center, I think Logan's point is also that they also have, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, guys that are really outworldly when they're at their best. And even without a bench, those guys are going to carry this Warriors team probably top four of the West. And I'm being too low on Curry and Thompson and those guys. Maybe I don't know if they're a championship contender, but they're
probably I just don't think that they'll care as much about the regular season. I think for them, it's going to be all about the postseason.
Right. But the West is pretty hard.
I agree. Which is why three or four is very fair.
And so that makes me think about the Jazz again. So we had the playoff teams. Like you had the Lakers, you had the Clippers.
Yep.
Let's throw the Warriors in there. Let's throw all three of those California teams in there. Lakers, Clippers, Warriors. I don't know about the Rockets anymore.
Especially with Daryl Morey. That's big.
So in flux right now, those teams, but the Blazers look like they're going to be back in the playoffs, right? If they stay healthy. I mean, the Blazers had just a lot of injuries. Like it wasn't just one.
As long as they stay healthy, they're probably pretty much a lock. I mean, it's going to be tough vying for the eighth seed again. I think that's going to be a really interesting race this year again.
For the Jazz? Yeah, I agree as well.
But yeah.
The Jazz are probably going to be in that 7-8 range right now.
Six, seven, eight for sure.
Got the Mavericks again, and then again one of these other like young teams that will almost make the playoffs are probably going to make the jump. So the Jazz I don't know if the Jazz are going to make that move into the top four, and if they're not, they're probably back in the back end again.
It's hard to say. I mean, for every pessimistic view that someone younger is going to jump us, there's always someone we don't see that's going to drop down. No one thought that Portland was going to fall the way they did. And it wasn't, injuries are a big part of that. And, for every team that goes up, there's always a couple teams that can go down. So it's hard to know. It's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly. And I guess I don't follow Portland well enough to know. But I know that their center was hurt. But I don't know who else on their team was injured this year.
They lost their power
forward. They lost. Yep. They lost Collins. They lost Collins. They lost Rodney Hood. They lost three of their starters. That's why they
were injury riddled. That's where they.
But even if they're fully geared up, we think they're better than the Jazz.
I don't know about that.
I think the Jazz could be that team that could be the one falling off. They got Gobert and Donovan in their prime, but now you got 35-year-old Mike Conley, 31-year-old Bojan, 34-year-old Joe Ingles. the Jazz could be the team that that could maybe make the step back again. You know, this is way too early. We're talking about way too early because there's going to be some moves. I see why there's a lot of pessimism because like the Jazz only have the mid level and there are like seven guys that Jazz fans want. So Logan, I mean, so do you feel so like I the two rankings that we saw was Jazz at 9 from SI and Jazz at like 15 with ESPN. What side do you think the Jazz fall on more?
In the middle, 12. We'll
12?
12. I mean, the thing was, I could see the argument being made for like the teams above them and the 15, but I also just, it is still hard for me to think that we're like, if 16 teams make the playoff, to think we're on the fringe just doesn't seem, I don't know. I don't know if we broke apart every roster piece by piece, and again with lots of changes happening. I don't see the Jazz as being a fringe playoff team. I think they're gonna be in the playoffs firmly. So I don't know. I mean, it was weird things they put in there. There's a lot of obvious projecting, but Brooklyn's also a fascinating one too that gets thrown around in different areas. That's a really weird one. I don't know
because they're gonna get two. You know, top 20 players on their roster. Plus, they already had a really deep roster with a bunch of guys. They might be losing a couple fellows, but you know, they got like the Dinwiddies and all those guys that without Kyrie and without Kevin Durant still made some run the past two postseasons. And so, is that a team that you think talent is enough, or do you think chemistry will be an issue? The Brooklyn Nets.
I think their
leadership is a problem.
Yeah, for sure. They got a couple of weirdos there. But also they got a lot of guys that do the same thing. I mean, Dinwiddie has to have the ball in his hand, right? And then so does Kyrie. There's few players who dominate the ball.
And so does Caris LeVert. Right?
Yeah, they have to have it in their hand. So I think they gotta move some of those pieces around. But I don't know, just completely jumping all around. But one thought I've had today as I was thinking about things is the Clippers are assumed to be back where they were again this year, but that's kind of a sometimes those things that happen. I mean, Doc Rivers is obviously out, and Tyronn Lue got the job today, I think, right?
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's an interesting group to keep our eye on. We've all just automatically pegged them up there right behind the Lakers, and they showed some pretty gnarly flaws in the playoffs game, and not just the playoff P experience, which is always enjoyable, but it seemed as though it kind of maybe exposed some underlying issues there where it was just kind of a disjointed, disconnected group because Kawhi isn't the stand-up, pound-his-chest type leader. And when Paul George is trying to be your vocal leader, that's dangerous because...
Did you guys see the report about Pat Beverly being mad about Kawhi Leonard being able to take games off and stuff like that?
I haven't seen that.
Sounds pretty ugly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the Clippers are an interesting group to watch to see how that whole thing plays out because it's not just about blowing a 3-1 lead, but we don't want that to be the case because then the Jazz are in the same boat. But I don't know. I've heard and listened, but they
definitely underperformed in terms of expectations. They were expected to be conference finals.
Yeah, but I mean, it just looks at who's the leader there, and probably Doc Rivers was the leader, right? I mean, I don't know who.
Kawhi's a good point.
His mouth shut, and when Paul George is standing up trying to be that guy, it seems like there was a lot of eye rolls, and you know,
that's a good point. Like the chemistry might not be there for the Clippers, like, but so again, this is the same point with the Brooklyn Nets. Like, can two top 20 players in the NBA overcome chemistry issues like that? Because I think the Nets and Clippers are actually probably pretty similar. Like they have two top 20 guys, plus they have some really good role players that have performed without big stars around them. You know, Pat Beverly, Dinwiddie, but there's a big chemistry issue now. You know, is that going to work? And that's interesting. I didn't think about it.
The one thing that Jared's back under his poster, the firmly planted, cheeks down, favors up. But it, it don't know what I was going to say now. But one thing that the one favor that Kawhi did for us, and I remember when this happened, is and that's why I think it leaves everything so much more wide open than years past, is when he chose not to be the third superstar with LeBron and the Lakers. Is I think it left it open for a lot more people, because for a while there, the super team was 3 to 4 just otherworldly players, right? And now that's not really the case. There's a lot of teams with two really good players, and that third one a little bit more hesitant. I mean, see the Lakers, for example. While LeBron and Anthony Davis may be, depending on how you choose to debate it, two of the top five players in the league, there's a big drop-off between that and third, whereas the last years it's been – last few years, the third best player has been what? Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a third force player.
Seriously. So
I mean, he did do us that favor when he chose to not go, because he was debating the Lakers, the Clippers, and back to Toronto, I believe, right?
Kawhi.
Something like that. Yes, yeah, Kawhi. Sorry. And he did. I don't know. He returned some, because if he would have went to the Lakers, that would have just been.
Yeah, league over for next 4 years type stuff.
Miami slash Golden State 3.0, right? Where it's just like, okay, there's one team, and the only way
with you all the top shelf talent.
The only way you win is that you you hope that everyone gets hurt, and that's kind of interesting. That I understand we want to give the Toronto their credit for winning a title last year, but good lord.
Everything breaking in their favor. You talk about stuff breaking in their favor, and it's everybody's legs.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I would still take the title if I was a Jazz fan. Don't get me wrong. I don't know. It elevated Kawhi to this level for a while where he was, you know, just maybe the people thought he was the great, and he's still great. It was just interesting.
Oh yeah, he's so great.
He is great, but it's not as though he
was in the conversation with Jordan, though. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as though he went.
People were like, he can do anything.
He didn't go on full strength Warriors team and dismantle the dynasty. The dynasty's Achilles and knees snapped along the way. And
I should apologize to the people who listen to the show, because as Kirk McKee, he tweeted me today because we were talking about, you know, the MLE and salary cap, and I said, hey, there might be a high note segment dedicated to this. He goes, based on what Ken tells him, I think Ken Clayton, only do that if you want listeners to be depressed, and that's what I do. That's my brand. I depress listeners, and so I'm I should have apologized to everybody.
He's a listener.
Kirk, Ken,
you ruined everything. Oh yeah, he does. Wait, are you talking about Ken Curtis?
It could have been Ken Curtis. He just said Ken. It could have been, I don't know if it's Clayton or Curtis or from Street Fighter.
Kirk McKee said only do that if you want. Okay, got it.
Only, yeah. Okay, Ken told him to only listen to the segment if they want to be depressed. So
got it.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard. Because. I guess I'm living in a world where I see it going badly for the Jazz, but you know, maybe I should take Logan's point of view here. Like it could go well for the Jazz. Like maybe it could
be anything. Who? It could be a boat.
Maybe it only took a year. Maybe it does take a year for the Jazz team to gel. Maybe they come out next year and all of a sudden we see them firing all cylinders again. You know,
Logan, what have you done? You took our optimistic young boy from last year.
I changed him back. I pushed him. I was just peer pressure.
You had to do is take a feather and just like tickle him, and he like jumped.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is that like, I mean, we just didn't see it at all. When I sat down and actually just thought about this team, and instead of like thinking about the potential I saw and just using my eyes and see what I saw, I'm like, oh boy, like a lot of things went really wrong. And I'm not even talking about like the Rudy Donovan chemistry, which I blocked out of my head, you know? But like another small thing that happened was that the Jazz hired another coach, somebody from another front office. The Jazz have hired two, you know, Dell Demps, and then they hired somebody I don't remember his name, but someone who's in the
Sixers.
Yeah, the Sixers front office that wasn't in, and
so
now
strange.
Like, what if the Jazz, like, you know, the Jazz's big moves this year were actually not player additions but coaching additions, and all of a sudden that's what changes the Jazz culture, or changes the Jazz ceiling, you know?
Is it going to change it for the better or for the worse? Because after everything you've said so far, I keep thinking you're going to say we're going to be the last seed in the conference or something.
Well, there's there was some thinking, and perhaps that there was a disconnect between the front office and Quinn Snyder, perhaps, right?
Right.
So maybe Quinn's building his own little secret army of front officers, and they're gonna
he's gonna have a coup.
They're gonna revolt in the night. And Dale Demps is gonna kick the door in, and then
he's gonna make a trade.
Dale Demps just starts placing calls randomly on people's behalf. They forget he's not a GM anymore, and he's making backdoor deals.
Dude, I love this movie. Like this.
Yeah, it's not bad, right?
2021, baby. 2021.
Yeah. I wonder what. So they lost. What's his name? They lost the guy to the Knicks, right? What's his name?
Walt Perrin.
And Johnny Bright. Walt Perrin and Johnny Bright.
Yeah, and Johnny Bright. Yeah. Oh, the guy from the bench. Yes.
But the belief is Walt Perrin was great with the scouting. He was great about finding these diamonds in the rough, and then. Bryant was good about helping develop the players as well.
Correct.
That's always been one of Quinn's greatest, according to Quinn Snyder coach teams, that's always been one of his strengths. So that is something interesting to watch next year, because was it Quinn that was doing that, or was Walt Perrin finding the guys and Bryant was able to mold them? And then they both went to the Knicks, which makes me think that there was some sort of connection between the two, right? So
I think that there was some kind of they were vibing. I don't know.
Yeah, but
I've been reading. So we're talking front offices, and I'm gonna coming out of left field here, pun intended, because I've been reading the book Moneyball that you know the movie's based on, and contrary to popular belief, you know, the A's general manager Billy Bean, all by himself, did not come up with the idea of how to be a great finder of talent. There was a lot of things along the way that helped that, and it feels like, yeah, so maybe I don't know if it's just one guy, I don't know if it's just Walt Perrin, or if it's what it is, if it's our organization top to bottom. So I mean, there's a lot to contemplate.
Just gotta hire Jonah Hill, we'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's, he had a Harvard degree in that movie.
That's some that's sort of like what you really think when you think of the great, like when you think of like the Spurs organization. It wasn't just Popovich; it was Popovich and, you know, their front office, like finding
RC, there you go, RC yeah. Buford. There
like
we go.
Like finding like those second round picks or like the late first round picks that they always got that. Would not just Tony Parker manage only, but like guys like DeJuan Blair, you know, guys that were able to like play and
oh man, Patty I totally Mills. Forgot about DeJuan Blair.
Yeah,
he's like Patty. Our name of the week. Like last week was Antonio McDice, and week is.
I'm glad no one fact checked this, because I went back and researched Antonio McDice, and I was really off, guys. Like I was.
So, like what? He sucked or what?
No, he didn't suck. I just had my timelines all crossed up. But the injury part was true too. But yeah. He did kind of he revived himself more with the Detroit Pistons than he did anywhere else. So.
Okay,
was he Nuggets? Then went to the Suns that got hurt, and then went to the Pistons.
Here's the thing: he went to the Nuggets and the Suns twice, I believe, which is kind of a weird twist.
But really, where he
turned himself around, or not turned himself around, but got himself going again, he became like, you know, those Pistons teams, the Wallace. Yeah, right. He was the sixth man off the bench for them, and that's why he stood out in my mind.
I thought he did well with the Suns too, because I remember like he got hurt when he was it supposed to be him and Penny or.
He did do well, but he was only there for like a year each time, which I thought was surprising. Yeah. More Antonio McDice factoids for everyone listening in. So it'll be my job to find another one for next week.
All right, that's our McNice segment of the night. Thank you, sponsor
McNice.
Thank you to McDonald's for the sponsorship of that segment. McDonald's, give us money.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Also, thanks to our Utah sponsors, the Off-Broadway Theater in downtown Salt Lake and the Great Room Escape in Layton, Utah. If you have a second, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and all other podcast platforms. It helps this podcast out, and we will enter all written 5-star reviews into a drawing for free tickets to either the Off-Broadway Theater or the Great Room Escape. Just write a 5-star review, and you'll be entered to win.
Yeah. So yeah, so this Jazz offseason, again, I mean, we have no idea what's going to go on. Like, I mean, the Jazz could go out and again, they surprised me. Like, I'm last year, just like a lot of everything they did last year, like I did not see coming. So I'm not going to, you know, bury them yet because a lot of things could happen. They could take their Chris Berman said in the movie Draft Day, they could take their mid-level exception, sprinkle some fairy dust on it, and turn it into three players. Who knows? Alex Mack, no matter what. So as we get to our Wakanda Forever, stuff that Jared was talking about on Jazz Facebook. I'm no longer part of Jazz Facebook, so I have no idea what this is about. But Jared, you were talking about stuff that you saw on there that was interesting.
Well, somebody found an article from some website called, it was like NBAAnalysis.net with an atrocious trade that I think the Jazz would never do. And I just keep, it just boggles my mind that Jazz fans, I don't know where they find these websites or whatnot, or if they just go searching for Utah Jazz trades and that's what comes up. But man, we read like whatever there is that's out there. So there's people that come up with these awful ideas for trades that will basically put the Jazz back in. I'm trying to think of which year it was that Tyrone Corbin year where we won like zero games. Well, maybe 20 games. But it just like, I don't get it, man. People are hungry for this stuff, I guess. I guess that's why we're having this episode, because we're talking about, you know.
Yeah, I mean, trades are it's the same vein as, you know, cap space and draft picks, right? Because like really you can turn, but I mean,
those trades are the mechanisms for improving the team.
Right. And so, I mean, but the trades you're talking about, like they're not like outlandish, like, oh, trade George Nyang and convince Giannis Antetokounmpo
to come to the Jazz. No, they're ones that screw us mostly. And it's like we trade Rudy and we get back Gordon Hayward or something. It's like, why?
So I guess the idea there, right, is that there's going to be a segment of Jazz fans who either don't want to pay Rudy the Supermax or think that Rudy's going to leave or Rudy's not worth the money, right? So that you want to – again, this is the asset talk, right, where Rudy's stock is still pretty high. Maybe he's not – like you don't get the whole dollar for Rudy, but if you get 90 cents to a dollar, that's what you want. So,
but is 1 year of Gordon Hayward worth anything? Because that's all it would be.
Right. I mean, and so – the thought there with Gordon Hayward is, you know, this is a team that he played well for when he was, and then he would be the second banana again, as opposed to, or he'd be the second banana as opposed to the fourth. I hear it. I mean, I don't think it would happen. It is outlandish, but I can see. I mean, I've actually thought, like, boy, if Hayward was back on this team, my God, you know. But that's the team that had Rudy.
I watched Hayward in the conference finals, and I did not feel like that was a player I wanted on my team.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I think Hayward's still a pretty decent player. The guy, had a whole season of.
Yeah, but I feel like he's got a lot of mental baggage now with the injuries and stuff, and I just don't know if he'll ever be. Even 80%.
I guess the further point is that it's not just Hayward, because again, like we're talking about a specific player or not.
Right, I think example. Sorry.
Yeah. The short point is, like, I think Hayward is still a good player. Now, if you trade Rudy Gobert, because if the Jazz had just reached a point where Rudy Gobert has told the Jazz, hey, I'm not coming back, you know, or has said, hey, you know, I'd rather look for other opportunities, and the Jazz are like, okay, cool, you know, the relationship's over. What kind of return, you know, are the Jazz looking for? You know, there was that Jarrett Allen, Chris LeVert, and I think a draft pick trade for
I still like that trade. I still think it's very interesting.
So instead of getting one, because I think Gordon Hayward is probably better than each of those pieces separately, but you know, can LeVert?
I really like Caris LeVert. I don't. I feel like he could be a third banana for us. So I don't know.
Well, so there'd be a third banana behind
Bojan. No other bananas. Yeah. Oh yeah, Bojan. Yeah.
Bojan and Donovan. Man, maybe it's like
who already traded Bojan, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's right. Who did you trade him for again?
So I guess
Gordon Hayward.
Right. My thought process here is like you want to trade Rudy Gobert for an 85 cent piece, like one player who's 85% as valuable as Rudy Gobert, or a 50% and a 65% piece, and then a draft pick.
See, that's that interests me more.
And why is that?
Because I feel like one of the big problems we had last year was depth, and and not enough pieces to fill in, you know, the holes. So, I mean, I don't know. That seems like we would look like a better team on paper. I don't know if it works out in reality, because thank goodness I'm not the GM, because I'd have to live with the consequences of a trade like that.
Well, I mean, Logan brought this up when he was a guest one time, right? Like, you know, the great teams have two, you know, max players, have two top whatever guys. And if you're trading Rudy Gobert and you don't get something that's close to that back. And
but are we sure that Rudy Gobert is that max player, though? Are we sure he's one of those two?
I mean, I do.
Yeah, he's so complicated because he's just not. I mean, that the Rudy Gobert is going to go down as one of the more,
he's a very polarizing player.
Yeah, it's hard because the analytics show one thing very, very clearly, right? His impact
that
on the game.
Yeah, that he's dominant and defensive.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But then all of us have seen just the major holes in his game. I mean, can you like the other. At the end of the day, I understand defense does a lot of things, and setting screens does a lot of things. There's a lot of things he does that appear to help a team out. He's like the most maxed up, roided up version of a role player you can find, right? Like he does all the small things guy. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you've got to score points when it matters most, and we can't even fathom the idea of running it through Rudy, right? It's something we can't consider. Whereas the other top tier teams have that. I don't know. I think you're right. I mean, he's the one we've got, and you can't guarantee that you've got something else in it by getting rid of him. It's just, it's such a perplexing place to be. But I'm gonna if Jared came out of left field, I'm gonna come out of right field since we're playing baseball. So I'm not trading Rudy. I've got a hypothetical for you guys. I don't know if the money matches up perfectly. I'm just taking two assumptions and putting them together, not knowing if they match up. Let's take current Jazz team, correct? And we're gonna do some time travel. If you can have Ricky, if you can have you take out Connolly and Bojan, but you have this current team with Ricky Rubio and then Gordon Hayward, and we're talking about good Gordon Hayward, like pre-injury Gordon Hayward, old Jazz Gordon Hayward.
That's a very interesting team.
I like that team more.
Yeah, I think I do too.
Just because.
Well, blame Hayward for screwing it up, man.
Yeah, blame Hayward. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And one of the things that, like, because like Hayward is that prototypical, like he's like Bojan, right? Like athletic, can shoot the three. You know,
but he's a better defender than Bojan, though. That's, I mean, he's like that, everything Bojan is, but he's a better defender.
And that was the one thing is that, like, he can also hold his own on the other end. And you know, we forget that him and Gobert actually had some really good chemistry. Like, they would run that pick and roll top
end. They really did.
Gordon, was throwing.
You're making me flashback to that. Who? I'm like imagining it right now.
Yeah. And so, that was the point. And so, I said, remember when. But yeah, so I mean, it is, I mean, it's not one of the things that you can do now, obviously, because there are a lot of moving pieces, but, I don't know what this Jazz team needs. And again, this is way too early to be talking about this because they're all on vacation. You know, free agency won't start for another month and a half. It is interesting to see because, like, if you trade Rudy Gobert away, then your team is like Donovan Mitchell and pieces. And some of the pieces are good. You got Mike Conley, you got Bojan Bogdanovic, but like you're basically, are you the Miami Heat? Can Donovan Mitchell beat Jimmy Butler good
We're
enough?
We're not the Miami Heat, so I don't know.
I mean, we're talking about these dominant teams that have all duos, and the Miami Heat have Jimmy Butler, and then really
and
good
Bam.
Is Bam a superstar?
Bam's their second guy. I know he's their second guy.
Is he top 20 level?
He looked like top 20 level in the playoffs.
He's on an interesting trajectory, that's for sure.
Right, but like if you were to put them all up right now, I'm saying, is he top 20? Like, is he above George, Kawhi, Davis, LeBron?
George? He might be above George. George just does look so bad. I don't know.
George Niang?
No. Yeah, that's actually where my head went first.
I mean, I realized
he was talking about Paul George. But,
I do appreciate that somewhere along the line, you guys claimed that it was a Tony Bradley slander on a regular basis, but somehow since I've been around, every time I come on, for reasons I don't even know, like, George Niang doesn't even bother me that much. For some reason, it comes up as a chance to, like, rain on George Niang, but...
I didn't rain on him. That was you.
It's me. That's what I'm saying. I don't know why I have this hate for him. It must have been because he was...
He was checking out her Instagram. Oof.
She was trying to get that lasagna, and I'm not down with it.
The lasagna.
Garfield hates Mondays.
I will meet George Niang in the old parking lot of the 49th Street Galleria and whoop his ass.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Sears parking lot downtown. 49th Street. Would have been all for that.
That's a good Utah reference.
It'll be my meet me in Temecula moment, but it'll be.
Well, people used to always talk about that Sears parking lot. That's what they used to always talk about fighting.
Sears.
Yeah, that one that was close to downtown. It's like 8th South or whatever. It's not there anymore.
I never got to fight at Sears. That'd be a new one.
Got to fight at 49th Street Gallery?
Always. Who hasn't?
Me, for one.
Who and I used to cruise down there in his Honda Odyssey and just blast Starry Eye Surprise.
Starry Eye Surprise.
Try to beat up kids that were barely like on the verge of between being legal and not. We didn't know if they were 18 14 or 12.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys beat kids up? Like, what the heck? What kind of gang were you?
Gang, you're the Niang gang.
As they were running away, Logan would yell, "This is what a man looks like." So
he's like takes off his shirt and he's got a bunch of chest hair.
I was never wearing a shirt.
I was wearing a sweater in the summer.
The sweater in the summer. That's good stuff, guys.
Bring up the food as I depress everybody on this podcast. Dragons Watch. We are working hard on getting this podcasting thing going, and I appreciate you joining us late night to talk some jazz.
No, I just appreciate you guys bringing me into the family. It's been enjoyable.
It's been a joy, man. You're good people.
Now I find myself trying to actually read about the NBA, and I'm going to have to watch the Jazz games next year, because I'm not going to lie to you. I watch most of my Jazz games via Jazz Twitter.
I actually used to do that a lot myself.
When you guys start dropping names of players, I'm like, who is that? I got to get caught up. I was researching my NBA free agents today. Tristan Thompson.
Yeah,
you're like, oh no, he's washed.
We have to start listening to the Lock podcast and see what names he starts throwing out there.
He put the one out about Malik Beasley, right? But Malik Beasley's been arrested recently for drugs and weapons in Minnesota, I believe. And if you're getting arrested in Minnesota this time, you're really trying to do something. So,
time it, folks. Go ahead, Logan. Sorry.
No, see, I don't know how you get arrested without a police force. Weren't they going to defund the police or something? So
I have no idea what's going on in Minnesota.
What's
that?
The funded doesn't mean gone. I mean,
that's true. Bring me on for trying to make.
Well, I heard arrests were way down though, stopping people for random reasons.
That's how bad his crime was. So
that's my point. That's my point exactly. Who knows where he'll be or not. I don't even know who Malik Beasley was. A Nugget at some point. Right?
I don't know who he was playing with either. I mean,
he got traded, right? He got traded from the Nuggets to the, like, 2 years ago. He was like part of the core like seven players for the Nuggets, and then he got traded. So, it is what it is.
We knew. I knew.
They saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I know we did. We did back in the Nugget Pouch at some point in time.
Yeah, there's exactly. Always... The Nugget Pouch is alive and well, folks. Speaking of Nugget Pouches, go to this is 49. guys, there was no Thursday Night Football this week, and I'll tell you what, I love it. I love not having Thursday Night Football. I always hated that game.
I'm not really a fan of it either. There was a Tuesday Night Football, which is weird.
Yeah, I don't watch any of it, but see, Tuesday night's fine because like my fantasy football line is already set. Thursday night, like, oh god, I have to go and like make sure I don't have any Thursday night players.
I know what you mean. Like the first Thursday night game of the year, because it was on Thursday this year, the very first week. I was like, oh crap, yeah. And it was the Chiefs playing, if I recall correctly, and Patrick Mahomes is my quarterback. So yeah, I had to check my lineup.
check out go to this is 49. He'll tell you who he's going to vote for and tweet for him. So
I just said I was filling out my ballot.
Yeah,
he'll tell you guys who I vote for. Actually, very strongly considered Kanye West, but
yeah. if you want to see who I vote for, sign up for my OnlyFans, and then you can see. So. my name on Twitter.
You can actually tell him what to vote for.
Yeah,
go to this for his OnlyFans.
Exactly, and I'll rate things too. You can follow me at Who Transcript Man. Follow, and I'm so sorry that I'm very depressing, and I will work. Therapy will help that. And you can follow at Jazz High Notes on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all the good stuff. So we'll come back next week. We'll talk free agents. We'll talk whatever. We're going to try bring on, we couldn't get a female guest from Jazz Twitter this week, but we're going to try again next week. So we'll see.
Feels oh, really? We're all female guests all the time now. Huh?
Yep, exactly. There's a lot of testosterone on this. We need to be balanced out.
That's what a man looks like.
It's what a man looks like. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time.
Next time.